I'm Barry Peters, and this is Who's on Bainbridge, brought to you by Bainbridge Community Broadcasting, BCB. And today we have a very unusual Who's on Bainbridge show because our Bainbridgeite in our studio today is from South Africa. He's an entrepreneur who founded and manages Africa's only continent-wide business radio broadcasting service. And he's building that service out of South Africa, soon to be in other parts of Africa. Soji.
Hi.
Welcome to BCB.
Thank you for welcoming me, Barry. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's an honor.
Well, it's an honor for me because from what I've heard, you've invented something truly unique and it's proving to be very successful. Tell us a little bit about it.
For us, it's about identifying a gap in the market and also saying that there is market, you know, in a gap. I mean, a friend of mine used to say that. So what we do, we are called Africa Business Radio, and we run an online radio network, business radio network across 54 countries in Africa.
54 countries in Africa. I bet if you did a quick test of the man on the street in the United States and said, how many countries are there in Africa? The guesses would be 10, 15, 20?
Actually, that is in the within the sub-Saharan Africa. So if you had the guys from the North Africa, which there are about 4 or 5, you might have in 58 and 59 countries across the entire continent. So, I mean, Africa is huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us about the experience of founding the only business radio service in Africa. How did it happen?
All right, so I have been in the media industry across Africa for the past 6 years. I have worked from a TV startup to producing a continental breakfast show. So I'm very much experienced within the content production environment across Africa. And
so you were making content for both television and radio,
yes,
were you?
Yes, for both TV and radio on the DSTV platform.
These were traditional broadcast channels, I take it.
Yes, these were traditional broadcast channels, not online. I mean, one of them is online, but also very much a traditional broadcast channel.
What I love about what you've done is it's very similar in one respect to what BCB is trying to do, namely, you're using the internet as your transmission vehicle.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So take us back again to the founding. You had this prior experience with traditional television, traditional radio, producing content.
Yeah.
And then what?
So I started by producing just one singular podcast show, and that was called Be Gameful. And the idea of Be Gameful, based on what I saw within the South African community, there were a lot of complaining by business owners around the level of productivity among the South African workers. So I thought I could produce, you know, content around workplace productivity. And my idea was that productivity has to be a personal skill that you must require from your employees, even from the point of employing them. So there must be a way to actually get to see whether they've got the productivity skill. So the idea was to create content to inform people about workplace productivity and building the skill of productivity in yourself as an entrepreneur, as a professional, in whatever field of endeavor you are. So and from there, I saw the opportunity that, you know, there is actually a gap for business content across Africa. There's no singular radio platform that covers business reporting across the continent. Mm. So, I mean, that was where the journey began. And the first studio was the spare bedroom in my apartment.
Oh, that's the beauty of podcasting. People do it from anywhere, including a spare bedroom in an apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. And here you are in the United States on a special program for entrepreneurs. One of our island residents, Looney by name,
correct,
is himself an entrepreneur who started 6 different businesses, and now he's sharing that knowledge with young entrepreneurs like yourself.
Mm. I mean, what I say about Looney is that he's such a phenomenal person, and he's teaching entrepreneurship the way it should be taught. And I've been in the program for about 8 weeks now. We're entering into the 9th week. For me, it's been a lifetime experience. I haven't just been able to, you know, take my business from where it was before and take it to the next level over just a period of 8 weeks. And not just around the area of planning itself. and understanding the global market for your business. So for me, the program has been, it's been life-changing, and I must commend Looney. He's doing a great work across the world. I mean, we had three or four African countries represented in the program. That we had somebody from Kenya, somebody from Rwanda, somebody from even Uganda. I mean, from South Africa. So Aduni is doing a great job, and I think the whole world needs to understand and see, you know, what he's doing.
And so about six of you are here for what? About a 10-week program, isn't it?
Yes, a 10-week program.
And what sorts of subjects are you talking about together?
So entrepreneurship, business planning, financial modeling of your businesses, validating your assumptions, and also speaking to a lot of mentors, you know, that might, you know, that will be able to share their experiences and share their expertise and be able to mentor you based on your business, and be able to just be able to, you know, the issue of mentorship is in such a way that it's more like you are leveraging on the experience and the expertise of your mentors.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of like give you a very good leverage in terms of leapfrogging for where they have been, because they share the experience and their mistakes, to where you want to be. So you're able to, you don't have to learn through experience anymore. You can learn from their experience and avoid a lot of mistakes. So everything we do is pretty much around business planning, validating your assumption, modeling your finances, and your marketing plan and your sales plan, and also securing investments. And so we do investors pitch and be able to tell our stories to investors, and they also be able to see opportunity in our businesses and invest. So it's pretty much everything that a startup will need.
And one story for an investor is how successfully you're doing. Are people listening to your radio network?
Yes, people are listening. Over the past 2 years, we've got aggregated 2 million listeners.
2 million
in
aggregate over 2 years.
Yes, 2 million listeners. And on a monthly basis, we've got unique listeners of about 60,000 people. And our number is completely organic. And for people that understand digital marketing, they know what I'm talking about. It's completely organic. We haven't spent a cent on marketing. People that are listening, consuming our content on their own accord, they are looking for it and they are consuming it. So by the time we start putting the words out there by ourselves, we're going to capture millions of listeners more.
Well, now that's quite striking to me, because I'm in my head, I'm doing a comparison between your immense success in terms of reaching the number of people you've reached in 2 years, when we're talking about over a million, compared to, let me tell you, in our case, over 3 years, we've reached an aggregate of about 50,000 downloads. But hey, a million is 20 times bigger than 50,000. So give me some free advice here. What, as you've been touring our studio here at the barn in our new location here on Bainbridge Island, you've been kind enough to share with me a couple of thoughts about what we could do to reach out to more listeners with our podcasts.
Correct.
So give me a couple of those little gems that you've shared with me.
All right. So one thing that has worked for us is continuous research on our audience, our listeners. We try to learn as much as possible about them. I'm both a financial journalist and a data journalist. So I can look at data and bring out insight, you know, and be able to do a journalistic report on that. So we collect data every month, and we'll look at the data and all of that, and be able to, you know, tailor that, you know, our content to what the data is saying. In other words, we learn from our listeners from time to time, and also from a rich report to see, okay, this platform is performing best. Let's just put more effort on this. This is not performing well. What can we do better? So we work more on data to actually, you know, improve how we're performing every month. So I guess you guys also can start looking into your data, start collecting it more as much as you can. And start.
All right. So let's talk data for a minute. So here we are on Bainbridge Island, and the data that came to our attention was our demographics.
Yes.
Here on Bainbridge, we have the unusual situation of having about 25% of our population being over age 55.
Correct.
So that led us, when we were founding our Bainbridge Community Broadcasting, to say, okay, podcasting is new. If we're over 55, or a lot of us are, speaking personally, I am, maybe the best way to present podcasting, which is a new technology, is to present it hand in hand with some writing. So we, as you were noticing, yeah, on our website, every podcast is accompanied by a written blog article.
A couple of paragraphs.
More than a couple of paragraphs. And so give me the pros and cons of that. What do you see as, from your point of view, on the three or four paragraphs that accompany most of our podcasts?
All right. So from what we have seen, and this is not just peculiar to Africa demographics alone, it's global. People who are moving from text-based content to more multimedia content. And you want to focus on just one type of content. You can present two options for them. They're going to be divided. And also, if you present two options for them, they're going to neglect one. So what I said, based on what we've spoken about, you know, off air, was that minimize the number of text you put in your podcast. Just do one paragraph, two, three lines. Just put them in suspense, because that's what you want them to. You want them to take action and go and listen or download a podcast. So you need to add some element of suspense. You can't describe everything on your description and write a blog. If you want to do blog separately. If you want to do a podcast, go by the way of podcast separately.
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Well, your success speaks for itself, so there must be some wisdom in those words.
I suppose.
But that's a hard lesson for us to learn, because I've had the assumption that on an island like Bainbridge, where let's say maybe a quarter of the population has not had a previous experience with podcasting, I thought give some writing to introduce the topic of the podcast, and then people will migrate over and have a listen.
There's a way to do that, though. You can do a transcript of the podcast and make it available on another post.
In another post.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do a transcript, make it available on another post or another link.
Okay.
So but that link will be at the end of the podcast post. So you want them to go and listen to the podcast first, and probably they are the middle and it's, okay, let me just get a transcript. Or they've listened to it and they just want more.
Okay.
They can now click the transcript and be able to see the text.
Mm-hmm. So shifting gears from the audience in Bainbridge Island to the audience in Africa.
Yes.
What format do you offer? You're offering business news and information. So what would you compare it to that we might be familiar with? What kinds of programming do you offer? Is it simply a moderator giving a rundown of today's latest ideas and news? Or is it interview programming? Or what is it?
So our programming is actually kind of, you know, across. So we have on a daily basis, there has to be the news element, which of course, especially in the morning, you need to be aware of the major news that you should take note of across different regions and different countries. There are major economies in Africa. So we give you those news to follow up on in the morning. And we also do a rundown of the market performance the previous day, so that before the market opens on that day, you have an idea of what happened yesterday. We give an insight into what happened, the market performance, look at the data. If you look at the stock exchange, look at the all share index, look at the traded volume, look at the top gainers, and look at, you know, the major movers of the market. If you're looking at the bond, look at, you know, What are the factors that contributed to the performance of the bond market the previous day, so that you can have an idea, and it has to be from domestic factors to global factors.
Okay.
You understand? Even on the commodity side. So on the macroeconomy, also on a daily basis, you want to know the major macroeconomic indicators across different major economies. What are they saying?
Mm-hmm.
Based on new development that is happening on a daily basis. So we do all of that, and also some shows that are specifically focused on some specific industry sectors. We have a show on the business of agriculture, a show on the business of entertainment, and we have a show that is regional focused, doing business in East Africa. So everything that you need to know about doing business in any country in East Africa, from policy to market performance to trends and all of that. So different shows focusing on different angles and different areas. So no two shows is the same.
When you were describing the first show, which was the morning financial news show,
yes,
I sense that that kind of programming is for your streaming internet radio outlet, is it? Is it also produced as a podcast?
It's also produced as a podcast because you also want snippet of it that somebody wants to download. So somebody wants to download it and archive it. So probably at the end of the week, they want to listen to entire thing because the market analyst or the guys that that this kind of content are useful for, most times they want to go to the previous information and just trying to look out for some pattern just to identify whether a pattern about a year ago is repeating itself so that they can be able to say, okay, this was how it happened then. So can the same happen right now? Because based on the look of things, it looks like it's a similar pattern.
You know, it's a surprising development. A few years back, podcasts generally did not tend to be produced daily, and they did not tend to be like daily news programs. But I noticed that the New York Times has recently introduced a new podcast called The Daily. And as its name implies, it's a morning news program with today's morning news. And it is produced as a podcast, and it gives you a chance in your spare time during the day to catch up with the morning news perspective.
Correct. I mean, if we are saying we have a live streaming, so it's more like taking some element of that live streaming and using them as podcasts as well. Apart from the other podcasts that would now be a weekly podcast program, because those other daily thing. The things that happen daily, if you don't do them daily, there's no point doing them. At the end of the week, if you don't know what happened yesterday and you want to do what happened today, it really doesn't add up for the people that utilize this kind of information.
So for our listeners who aren't familiar with the idea of streaming, would I be correct that for your radio broadcasts, you're not broadcasting over the AM or FM radio dial in the old-fashioned way of sending the signal to the top of a tower and sending it out over the air, so to speak. But you're talking about sending it over the internet as an internet stream. So you are both a podcaster and an internet streaming radio station.
Correct. I mean, to shock you with some data that are actually out already, very soon, and I mean a couple of years, between 2020 and 2025, the consumption of audio will be on the digital space. Digital space and mobile space. The mobile space will include your vehicles. So internet radio will be listed on your vehicles. So the traditional way of AM, FM will be completely out because one, it's very expensive in terms of infrastructural setup, and also it also encourages some level of monopoly for, we are in a free age. I mean, the level of freedom, the level of the impact of democracy in our society globally is improving. So freedom of speech is becoming the order of the day. It's becoming something that more like a fundamental human right now. So we are removing the barrier to information. We are disrupting the media space. We are eliminating monopoly. Gone are the days that the media out there will be owned by a few group of people or by the state. Now, the digital space allows anybody and everybody to be a journalist. And that is what is happening. So soon, 80% of where people consume content will be on the internet.
80% of media consumption on the internet.
Yeah.
And in the near future.
Yes. Like we're talking about 3-5 years to come.
Now, tell me a little bit about how you actually function in your startup business. You're 2 years old and you're based in Johannesburg, South Africa. Yeah. What about the folks who are the other voices on your programming? Are they all in Johannesburg or are they around and about?
Some are in Johannesburg, some are around and about. Because it's about the entire continent. We need on-ground information. We get them daily. And the opportunity that we have is that I have a strong network of journalists who are friends, colleagues, and partners. And also PR and communication agencies and professionals. Even before some news or some reports go out, we get them first. So, but from company news, company stories to government news, government stories, market stories, sectoral stories. So we get them on ground and we follow up on them. So and there are two sides, you know, when it comes to the kind of work. The side of producing the content and the side of delivering the content. The delivering the content has to do with the host of the show or the presenter of the show. There is that producer element who prepares the story, who gathers the story. So there's just a few of us, about five of us that are, you know, but I'm the only one in Johannesburg, a couple of them in East Africa, a couple of them in West Africa. So we're the one that produce the major stories in terms of gathering the intelligence and just push it out to the guys that will present and host. So currently we have about 15 independent partners.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Across.
Uh-huh. Wow. So it's a job of management and coordinating as well as a job of producing media, huh?
Jesus, a lot.
Well, we've had fun talking with you today here on Who's on Bainbridge. It's usually, when we ask who, it's usually someone down the street, but it's great to have someone who's coming from across the globe to talk with us today at BCP.
It's great to be here.
And we had mentioned Looney a couple of times before in our conversation, since he was the one who invited you folks to come to this fascinating workshop for 10 weeks on entrepreneurship. We were, of course, referring to Michael Looney is his nickname, but Michael Libus. And Michael is a resident of Bainbridge Island and a fellow who started six businesses himself over his early lifetime and is now sharing that insight with people like yourself. And that's great news.
All right.
Well, any final thoughts for us on good luck for our future? What do you think? Do we have a chance of surviving even though we have a smaller audience than you do?
Of course, you do have a chance. We've spoken about this a lot. I mean, we're just coming back from lunch.
Yeah.
We had great lunch. Thank you for that, for buying me lunch. I mean, you've got more than 24,000 people on the island. You've got the entire country of the United States as your audience because a lot of people want to discover Bainbridge. I've been here a couple of times. Actually, this is the fourth time and over the past 8 weeks that I've been here. And I love the island. I love the sense of the community that is here. I love the fact that everybody is getting involved in the community of the people living within the island. And I tell you, people from across the country want to know about the island. So you've got the entire, more than 300 million people residing in the U.S. as your audience. So the change is great.
Well, and of course, we had a tour of this remarkable new barn building that we're sitting in right now. And I think you would agree that if we can do some video podcasts from this building and perhaps put those videos out, not only as podcasts, but also on YouTube, to show people how to do a project that's woodworking or how to make a project that's metalworking or fiber or how to do a project in the electronic area. All of these things are happening here at Barn, and it sounds like that might be another way to reach out to a wider audience.
I'm telling you, I've said this this facility is great. The people running this place, they're visionary people. The initiative is something that should be replicated everywhere in the world. I am fascinated by what I've seen here. And I had the opportunity of meeting the president, the leader of the entire group as well. I met different departmental head. Everybody is wonderful.
Yeah. You met the president of the board,
of
Sally
the board.
Barron.
Yes.
And the executive director, Mark Nichols.
Who was with Universal before. So the people are great. And I love what I'm seeing. I love what is happening here. Yeah. But I'm going to say it now because I've said it to you again and again. You guys need to get young people on board so that you can set vision to them. They can disrupt the space and they can even make it great, because I think what is happening here should be something that should become a generational initiative.
Well, there it is. An invitation out to the young people of Bainbridge Island, for example, at Bainbridge High School.
Yes.
And thank you for making that invitation, because we couldn't agree more. That's the future of any project here on Bainbridge. It's the young folks of the island who can do it next.
Correct.
Wonderful. Well, this has been Who's on Bainbridge, brought to you by Bainbridge Community Broadcasting, BCB, from our new studio facilities here at BARN, the Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. Thanks for listening.